Hi, this is Gordon Deal. The award-winning Wall Street Journal This Morning starts right after this. TrueCar.com is changing car buying forever. Yes, every day, TrueCar users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. Some features are not available in all states. In the first 3 months of this year, over 126,000 cars were sold by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network. TrueCar users save an average of $3,078 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three easy steps. First, go to TrueCar.com and find out what other people paid for the car you're looking for. Then register at TrueCar.com to see upfront pricing information and lock in your savings. Third step is simple. Just print out your TrueCar savings certificate and take it to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. Remember, every day, TrueCar users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. Save time, save money, and never overpay. Visit TrueCar.com today. That's TrueCar.com.
Live from the newsroom of the Wall Street Journal, this is the Wall Street Journal This Morning, America's first news with Gordon Deal.
An accusatory finger points at Moscow. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Gina Cervetti. Glad you're with us. Friday, July 25. Here's what's up this hour.
The U.S. accuses Russia of firing across the border at Ukrainian military sites. We'll have the latest on the harsh new stance against the Kremlin.
16 people have been killed at a U.N. shelter in Gaza. We'll take you there for the latest on the fighting between Israel and Hamas.
A commercial jet headed from Burkina Faso to Algeria has gone down in Mali with 116 on board. France has indicated there were no survivors.
And addressing poverty, House Budget Committee Chairman Paul Ryan of Wisconsin has a new proposal.
We spend $800 billion each year on 92 programs at the federal level just to fight poverty. And yet, we have the highest poverty rate in a generation.
The anti-poverty plan from Congressman Paul Ryan in about 20 minutes. Crash investigators at the site of Malaysia Airlines Flight 17 in eastern Ukraine say they've discovered shrapnel-like holes on parts of the aircraft. This marks the first official on-the-ground sighting of evidence suggesting the plane was downed by a missile. More from the Wall Street Journal This Morning's Jeff Bellinger.
Officials say they spotted a part of the plane dotted with almost machine gun-like holes. The holes were found in two separate pieces of the fuselage and were examined by Malaysian aviation security officials. The damage to the jet's exterior is a crucial clue to understanding what brought it down. Still, the presence of shrapnel damage may not immediately point to a surface-to-air missile that U.S. officials have said was likely fired by pro-Russia rebels, since some air-to-air missiles are also designed to destroy an aircraft in the same fashion. Finding actual shrapnel would yield more certainty over the missile type. Gordon?
Thank you, Jeff. 8 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal This Morning. The Obama administration is now accusing Russia of firing artillery across its border to hit Ukrainian military sites. U.S. defense and diplomatic officials also say Moscow is planning to send pro-Russian separatists more lethal weaponry. To Washington and Wall Street Journal Pentagon correspondent Julian Barnes, who's on the T-Mobile hotline. Julian, was this a surprise?
This is surprising. I mean, the U.S. has outlined for a while Russian support, what they believe and what they say is Russian support. That has included transferring trucks, tanks, other material to the Russian separatists. They've said that there are Russian advisors working inside Ukraine, but we have not heard what the U.S. has said with a great deal of confidence is actual Russian military direct involvement. And that's what this would amount to. You know, artillery can be very damaging if it hits directly on opposing military force, but it also can be harassing, just keeping military forces away from their objective. This is telling. It shows that Russia is concerned about the advances on the ground that the Ukrainian government has been making against the Russian-backed separatists in eastern Ukraine.
What are U.S. officials concerned about at this point in terms of the entire conflict?
U.S. officials had hoped that after the downing of the Malaysian Airlines flight, that Russia might back down, that in that disaster there could be perhaps a hope of de-escalating the fight and maybe peaceful conclusion at some point. But this shows an upping of the ante by the Russian forces, that they are continuing to press the fight and they are not backing down, but escalating their involvement.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal Pentagon correspondent Julian Barnes. Do spokesmen have any other thoughts on the situation?
They also announced that the U.S. believes that Russia is transferring air defense rocket launchers, these weapons similar to what brought down the plane to the Malaysian airliners, to the Ukrainian separatists. Now, the systems they identified on Thursday are not as sophisticated as the Buk M, or the also known as the SA-11, that brought down the Malaysian airliners, but it would amount to an increase in the firepower that the Ukrainian rebels have at their fingertips.
Seems like as the days go by, we have more and more questions to ask about this.
Yes, this situation is not getting better. It is getting worse. Perhaps a few weeks ago, it looked like the Ukrainian government was making a counteroffensive against the rebels and that they were succeeding and that it was not necessarily prompting increased Russian involvement. But that scenario has turned around, and we now see Russia engaging more, helping more through supplies and now through the artillery strikes in an effort to help bolster the rebel effort.
Thanks, Julian. Wall Street Journal Pentagon correspondent Julian Barnes. 11 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning.
Hi, I'm Lex Friedman. I run my own business called Podlexing. So I know from experience, hiring new employees can be tough. With so many job boards out there, how can you know which one will produce the best talent? Realistically, to fill the position fast and with the perfect candidate, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can do it with a single click with ZipRecruiter.com. ZipRecruiter.com lets you post to more than 40 job sites at once. ZipRecruiter.com also posts your job on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. Just post once and watch the qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. You can screen applicants, rate them, and hire the right people fast. Try ZipRecruiter free right now and find out why it's been used by over 100,000 businesses. And right now, listeners of this program can try ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ. That's ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ. One more time, to try ZipRecruiter for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ.
Thanks for being with us on this Friday, July 25. A shelter for Gazans fleeing the conflict between Israel and Hamas has been struck by a barrage of shells, killing at least 16 people. Israeli officials say they didn't yet know what hit the United Nations-run shelter in the northern Gaza town of Beit Hanun. The Israeli army said it had warned the UN and the Red Cross to evacuate the building because Hamas militants were firing from an area nearby. Israel said it returned fire in their direction. More now from Wall Street Journal reporter Tamer El-Gabashi, who's in the Gaza Strip. Tamer, take us through this.
There are about 83 United Nations shelters here that are primarily based in schools around Gaza that are sheltering anywhere from several hundred to more than 1,000 Gazans fleeing fighting in their neighborhood. So far, there's 140,000 plus Gazans that have sought shelter in these types of schools, which is about 8% of Gaza's population. Yesterday, following two minor strikes this week on UN schools, there was a major one in Beit Hanun, which is in the northern part of the Gaza Strip, was apparently shelled, according to witnesses, between 3 and 5 times, causing the deaths of 16 people and more than, well over 100 people seriously injured.
All right, now Israel acknowledges that there was fighting in the area, correct?
Yes, they do. That's one of the reasons the United Nations wanted to actually shut down that school and evacuate all those people to a safer location. And the UN says that they had given Israel, you know, that they had attempted to get out 12 times by giving notice to the Israeli military, and they say they never were given clearance for safe passage, had given the Israeli military exact coordinates of the school. But there's, you know, the Israeli military does say there was fighting in the area. They were attacked from in the vicinity of the school and returned fire. However, they're not acknowledging that it might have been their ordnance that struck the school, suggesting that maybe Hamas rockets either misfired or fell onto the school. At this point, it's unclear. There's plenty of speculation that Hamas rockets don't have the firepower to inflict that much damage into be that precise as to fall into a single location 3 to 5 times. Doesn't seem any really bad. The likelihood of that happening seems very, very slim.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Tamer El-Gabashi in the Gaza Strip. It's been a frequent complaint from the Israelis, though, that Hamas militants are hiding behind civilians in many cases, correct?
Of course, that's part of the government line here, that, or in Israel, that Hamas is using civilian installations and civilian infrastructure and civilians themselves as cover in order to attack Israel. To be fair, the UN acknowledged that during this conflict, this more than 2 weeks of fighting, the UN did find rockets stored in two of their schools that were vacant. But that's 2 out of 83 schools. So it's one of the more contentious points. People on the Palestinian side say, well, Gaza is all civilians. It's a very small region that's populated by 1.8 million people.
There was fighting that broke out in the West Bank as well, correct?
That's correct. Very late in the night here, there were what people say is around 10,000 protesters, specifically at the Columbia checkpoint in the West Bank, that were protesting. The protests turned violent. As far as we know, two protesters were killed, likely by gunshots from either the Israeli military or the police trying to break up the protest. There's anticipation that today, being Friday, which is a traditional day of protests throughout the Middle East because it's the first day of the weekend, and particularly in the West Bank and in Old Jerusalem, there's the Al-Quds Mosque, which is a popular destination for many Muslims to go pray. For the past several weeks, the Israeli authorities have barred men under the age of 50 from going to the mosque for prayer out of fear of protests that might break out afterwards.
Thanks, Tamer. Wall Street Journal reporter Tamer El-Gabashi with us today from the Gaza Strip. 20 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Gina Cervetti is here. She has America's First News.
Good morning. Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe plans to tour storm-damaged areas after a tornado tore through a campground, killing two people and leaving dozens injured. Forecasters had issued a tornado warning, but many at the park said they had only a few minutes' notice. French officials say bad weather most likely downed an Air Algérie flight in Mali, saying that the jet broke apart when it hit the ground. There were at least 116 people on board. Investigators saw no survivors. Monitors at the site of the Malaysia Air Flight 17 crash say they found shrapnel-like holes in plane parts. This could be evidence of a missile strike, but finding actual shrapnel would be more of a smoking gun. U.S. and diplomatic officials say Russia is firing artillery across its border at Ukrainian military positions, suggesting Moscow is directly engaging in hostilities against Ukrainian forces.
U.S. officials had hoped that after the downing of the Malaysian Airlines flight, that Russia might back down.
The Journal's Julian Barnes. At least 16 people are dead after shelling hit a UN-run shelter in Gaza. Secretary of State John Kerry is trying to help broker a truce in the fighting between Israel and Hamas militants, with now more than 800 dead. The U.S. government has issued its first estimate for ALS, or Lou Gehrig's disease, saying there are about 12,000 U.S. cases, figures similar to those in Europe. Stock futures are lower after the Dow fell 3 points, the S&P added almost one, and the NASDAQ slipped about two. Jobless claims posted a decent decline. New home sales fell in June.
We had been expecting that they would start picking up from the weakness that we saw during the winter. Unfortunately, that has simply not happened.
Economist Joel Naroff. Well, in 1997, a shipping container filled with millions of Legos fell into the sea off the coast of Cornwall, England. And guess what? Pieces continue to wash ashore. The BBC says that the container slipped into the water when the Tokyo Express was hit by a big wave. Some 5 million Lego pieces had been bound for New York.
Wow.
There's even a Facebook page called Lego Lost at Sea. And you know what else is funny? A lot of the Legos were nautical themed.
Get out of here. Oh, that's weird. When that story was first coming from you, I thought you were going to say in some way, shape, or form they had actually started to cling together and create some sort of shape or structure while they were at the bottom of the ocean.
Well, I guess what's kind of sad, though, is all of this plastic floating around out in the water, right?
Oh, yes. That can't be good either.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Gina. It is 22 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning.
Thanks for being with us. House Budget Committee Chairman Paul Ryan has laid out a plan for using a conservative approach to reshape food stamps, housing assistance, and other federal social programs.
Washington looks at each person's needs in isolation, like food, housing, or energy. It doesn't see how their needs interact. And what's worse, Washington looks at each person in isolation. It doesn't see how people need to interact.
The 73-page proposal from the Wisconsin Republican brings detail to GOP promises to address poverty. Here's MarketWatch reporter Robert Schroeder with that story. Robert, what would he do with the earned income tax credit?
Paul Ryan would expand this tax credit for workers without children. He'd double the credit to about $1,000, and he'd lower the eligibility age. Now, this credit, of course, is for working people with low to moderate income. You have to work to get the credit and to basically, you know, reduce the amount of tax you owe. So Republicans like this because it's not getting something for nothing. You have to pay to play, so to speak. You have to work. And that's why it's called the earned income tax credit.
So I understand that the way this is being funded is something both parties disagree on, right?
Absolutely, of course. And this is where the classic Washington problem comes in. How do you pay for it? President Obama, in his latest budget earlier this year, proposed taxing what's called carried interest, which is a tax break right now that a lot on Wall Street enjoy, Wall Street managers enjoy. Of course, the Republicans, and Paul Ryan in particular, won't go for this. Ryan explicitly says in his plan that he won't raise taxes. So basically, he would eliminate spending on some other things, what he calls ineffective programs, you know, social service block grant. There's something called the Economic Development Administration, and so on. So it's cut spending for these programs on the one hand, or raise taxes on Wall Street on the other hand. So that's a pretty big divide, but they at least agree on what they want to do.
We're speaking with MarketWatch reporter Robert Schroeder. Does it appear that there might be compromise to get this done?
There is, I think, a new impetus to start watching this, because Senator Marco Rubio of Florida, who also is considering a run for president, has talked about the earned income tax credit as well. Now, he would change it quite a bit, unlike Ryan or President Obama. I think there is a move afoot here to do something on this. If you've got the 2012 Republican vice presidential nominee and the Democratic president saying that they like this program, you know, I think odds are that there's something that could get done on this.
Any other aspect of Mr. Ryan's plan that Democrats may be willing to accept?
You know, he wants to make some pretty big changes. He essentially calls for consolidating these 11 anti-poverty programs into just like a pool of money for states. And I really don't think that Democrats in Congress, and maybe even some Republicans, would be willing to undergo such a radical transformation. It's a big plan. It's a big idea. But, you know, it does help set the tone going forward.
Thanks, Robert. MarketWatch reporter Robert Schroeder. It is 30 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Coming up next, we found an excuse to discuss Victoria's Secret model, Vahati Prinsloo.
I own a growing company and predictable monthly expenses make it easier to run my business. That's why I switched to the T-Mobile Simple Choice for Business plan. We get unlimited data with no overage charges, all in America's fastest 4G LTE network. Now it doesn't matter how much data my team needs every month. My bill stays the same. Switch to T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/business.
Limited time only, subject to change. Fastest 4G LTE based on download speeds. See T-Mobile.com for details.
If you don't have a will, the court may dictate what happens to your property and minor children. Don't let that happen. It's National Make-A-Will Month, so call or visit LegalZoom today for special pricing on wills and living trusts. LegalZoom has been helping people protect their families for over 13 years. They make it painless to get the legal help you need. Don't forget to enter WSJ in the referral box at checkout to save more. LegalZoom provides legal help through independent attorneys and self-help, but they're not a law firm. Protect your family and future today at LegalZoom.com.
Wake up to the Wall Street Journal this morning, now on the WSJ radio app.
Thanks for being with us on this Friday, July 25th. Gordon Deal with Gina Cervetti. Coming up this half hour, the crash of an Air Algeria flight in Mali. Shrapnel damage found on Malaysia Airlines Flight 17 in eastern Ukraine. Charges that Russia is firing on Ukraine. And on a lighter note, the type of men that are best at negotiations. We'll have that story in about 20 minutes. It's time now for a technology update, and it's brought to you by T-Mobile. Unleash the potential of your business with T-Mobile, the company that's changing the way business does wireless. Time now for our weekly update about what's trending on Google. For the latest on our searches, here's Google Trends expert Zaina Aston, who's with us live this morning. Zaina, start with the fruit recall.
Yes. So a possible listeria contamination led to a national fruit call at stores like Costco and Whole Foods. And people came to search to find out a little bit more about the details of listeria, as well as symptoms and you know, what's actually going on.
Okay. And when this one came up on the list, I had to do some investigative work. And I have to admit, I did not know who Bahati Prinsloo was, but I do now.
Well, exactly. So she's Adam Levine's new bride, and she was trending this week after the two got married in Mexico. Comedian Jonah Hill was the officiated the wedding, and it turns out that Jonah Hill and Adam Levine are longtime childhood friends, and actually Jonah Hill's brother is the manager of Adam Levine. So a lot of people were interested to find out who his new bride is, and to burst the bubble, she is a Victoria's Secret model.
Yeah.
And so people are looking in to find out a little bit more about who she is, and of course the images of the wedding.
No disrespect to Adam Levine and Maroon 5, but pictures of Bahati Prinsloo, they're worth looking at. She's a beauty.
Yep.
Also, on somewhat of the entertainment scale here, let me play you this clip from Weird Al Yankovic, since he's been making news. So how about Weird Al? All of a sudden, we're doing a lot of searches on him.
Exactly. Weird Al's latest album, Mandatory Fun, is the first number one album of his three-decade career. The parody musician released 8 videos over 8 days in a viral online media campaign, and that sent a lot of people to search, to look up his songs, to find the videos. You know, he didn't do it all in one place either. He's done it with a variety of different of web partners that have a strong presence online. People like Nerdist, which is a YouTube channel, Funny or Die. You know, he posts up his videos there, and he tap into this established audience that they have, and they've just gone absolutely viral. My personal favorite is the one that he does about bad grammatical habits set to blurred lines called Word Crimes.
Right.
So good.
All right, I've been told these are must-see. I'll have to take a look after the show. We're speaking with Google Trends expert Zaina Aston, who's with us live this morning. I also did not know who Laverne Cox was, actress on the Netflix series Orange is the New Black. Why has she been popular lately?
She's trending this week after appearing on both The View and on the cover of Time. She is the first transgendered Emmy nominee, and so there's been a lot of interest to find out more about who she is and of course, find out details around her nomination.
Oh, shoot. So she, you know, I saw that she was a transgender activist, but I didn't realize she is transgender. This was a man who became a woman?
Yes, that's correct. And, you know, she's very open and talks about that process and you know, how she's come to terms with criticism and how it feels to kind of be the first transgender woman to get an Emmy nomination, and as well how that kind of character works, how she's been able to explore that within herself through the character on Orange is the New Black.
Very good. I know the show has been very popular for her as well, the original Netflix series Orange is the New Black. Zaina, thanks for a few minutes as always. Google Trends expert Zaina Aston. It's 21 minutes now before the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Time now for a travel update, and it's brought to you by La Quinta. La Quinta Inns and Suites takes care of everything so you can take care of business. Book now at LQ.com or call 1-800-SLEEP-LQ. It's understandable if you're a little nervous about flying these days, given the recent rash of commercial aircraft tragedies. Got the Malaysia Airlines Flight 17 brought down in eastern Ukraine last Thursday. The TransAsia Airways turboprop that went down in bad weather on a remote island in Taiwan this week. And then yesterday's crash by an Air Algérie jet in Mali. However, industry experts argue that it has never been safer to fly by almost any measure. Here's Wall Street Journal reporter Dan Michaels with us this morning from Warsaw, Poland. Dan, how so? Because nerves are rattled right now.
Yeah, understandably. There's been a lot of news about planes crashing, and then the crash yesterday in Mali. Again, a almost 20-year-old airplane, airline that the world is not usually focused on. Also, the fact that the plane yesterday was flying over Mali, which is in the middle of a war of its own. The region is controlled by Islamist extremists. Mm-hmm. We've been fighting with the government and French forces there. So there was the obvious question, did they get their hands on some kind of missile to shoot the plane down? The French government has said today that they believe it was not a missile, that they think bad weather was a factor. So very unfortunate string of events, but in the big picture, not a big change in air safety statistics.
I'm curious, you got to personalize this for us here because you just got off a plane, right? Aren't you at the Warsaw airport? Were you nervous?
I am. Were you nervous during the flight? I took a fairly short flight from Frankfurt to Warsaw. There's always a chance getting on a plane. It's still a lot safer than getting in a car and probably in a lot of places walking across the street. The industry worldwide flies about 100,000 flights a day. The chance of, especially in a developed country in Europe, the U.S., Japan, Australia, the chance of getting hurt at all in an airplane is just so infinitesimally small.
Yeah. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Dan Michaels. He's with us live this morning after getting off a plane in Warsaw, Poland. We're talking about, in general now, how safe it is to fly. I think the Journal's done stories, too, about even the survivability these days of plane crashes has gone up.
Definitely. I mean, the same model airplane that was involved in the two Malaysian accidents, British Airways had one of those that sort of crash-landed after a fluke incident with icing in the engine. The plane was total, you know, it was intact.
Yeah.
Everyone walked off the plane, and there have been a number of accidents like this. Planes are just better designed. Piloting is better. In advanced countries, the industry has made huge strides in assessing what was causing accidents and causing death and doing everything possible to address that. And that ranged from the equipment, the machinery, the computers, to how pilots and mechanics and everyone else are trained. And so the industry tries to anticipate problems and head them off before they happen.
Thanks, Dan. Wall Street Journal reporter Dan Michaels this morning from the airport in Warsaw, Poland. 15 minutes now before the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. By the way, there's a poll question on our website today. Are you more concerned about flying now than you were a week ago, given all the recent incidents? You can vote and see results on our website, which is WSJThisMorning.com. Amazon's newest pitch to us sounds like a good deal. For just $10 a month, you can access hundreds of thousands of Kindle ebooks and audiobooks. But is it the right fit for most readers? Market Watch reporter Katie Hill has been looking under the rocks of this new program. Katie, what should we know about it?
Kindle Unlimited is based for $9.99 a month. You get unlimited access to about 600,000 ebooks and 2,000 audiobooks. So on its surface, this sounds pretty great. I mean, you pay $10 a month and you get a whole bunch of ebooks and also audiobooks. And the cool thing, there are some really good features, is that you can alternate between reading your book and listening to your book without losing your place because of this new Whisper Sync technology. So yeah, 600,000 ebooks, 2,000 audiobooks, and you can sort of switch between reading and listening because they had that new Whisper Sync technology.
Okay, but even if you sleep or never sleep, rather, you probably can't get through all those titles.
Right. And it's interesting. So I thought, oh, this is perfect for someone like me. I read a lot. The average ebook costs $7 to $8. Like, of course I want this Kindle Unlimited. But I started looking into it, and I have this summer reading list of a whole bunch of new releases. And I tried to look. I signed up for Kindle Unlimited because there's a 30-day free trial right now, which is worth at least signing up for if you remember to cancel it, right?
Okay.
So I look at it, and none of the new releases that I wanted to read this summer were even available.
Oh.
So even though there's 600,000 titles, and there's some good titles for, you know, or popular titles, Hunger Games, Flash Boys, Harry Potter, all that's on there, a lot of these new releases from major publishing houses are not on there. So if you're one of those people, I like to find new authors and read them right when they come out, you might be out of luck.
We're speaking with MarketWatch reporter Katie Hill about, is Amazon's Kindle Unlimited worth the price? So ultimately, you think no, or if you like old books, you're in decent shape.
So it's not worth it for me because of this new release issue. What I think is worth it for people is the fact that there's a 30-day free trial. Go on there and see what you can get. Because, I mean, I was looking around just, I mean, maybe I like to read weird books. I don't know. But when I was looking for the titles that I wanted, none of them were free. So, I mean, I don't really want to read The Hunger Games. Sorry, no offense. I liked to read that at the beach, but that's not, you know, that just wasn't my thing. And I kept looking for books that I wanted, not on there. Plus, a lot of people already have Amazon Prime, which is, you know, $99 a year. That gives you a whole bunch of ebooks too. So if you already have Amazon Prime, you get about one ebook a month on Amazon Prime. Might not be worth it to do this Kindle Unlimited thing either because you're already getting a lot of ebooks. So that's another factor to sort of think about when you're doing this.
Thanks, Katie. MarketWatch reporter Katie Hill, who's based in New York. 9 minutes now before the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Gina Cervetti is back with America's First News.
Good morning. With commercial airline crashes grabbing our attention comes other sad news today that an Indiana father and son's quest to fly around the world in a small plane has ended in a fatal crash off the coast of American Samoa. Searchers were looking for the man, and the teenaged son was reported dead. Investigators point to bad weather as the likely cause of what brought down an Air Algérie jet with at least 116 people on board. In Mali, 51 of the passengers were French, and President Hollande sent forces to the site, and there was word that at least one black box was found. Stock futures are moving lower this morning after a narrowly mixed close for Wall Street. The Dow was down about 3 points. NASDAQ lost almost 2. The S&P added about 1. Economic news was mixed, and Joe Saluzzi with Themis Trading says investors don't mind taking the good with the bad.
They don't want to see the economy going backwards, but they don't want to see an economy that's accelerating too quickly, because that would force the Federal Reserve to raise rates. So lukewarm is actually probably the best of both worlds.
Asian markets were higher today. Corporate reports have been mostly positive, and analysts have revised higher their estimates for earnings increases among the S&P 500 companies. President Barack Obama is urging Congress to pass legislation to stop U.S. companies from reincorporating overseas to lower their tax bills, but it does not appear that any such bills addressing so-called inversion will pass anytime soon. Russia's Consumer Protection Agency has filed a lawsuit in Moscow seeking to ban some McDonald's sandwiches, milkshakes, and ice cream. The suit pointed to, quote, inappropriate physical chemical parameters. McDonald's said it had no information about that. I'll have an iced coffee. Oh, and you'll want a Boston cream with that, right? Head into a Dunkin' Donuts to grab an iced coffee in the afternoon, and don't be surprised if you're urged to get a donut or a cookie as well. The Dunkin' CEO tells AP that cashiers are being pushed to upsell in the afternoon to boost sales outside of the morning rush when a lot of us might head into Dunkin's.
I see. Is there the risk there, though, of inappropriate physical chemical parameters like there was in this McDonald's
thing? I'll tell you what, they're tempting us even more at Dunkin', Gordon, because they're putting the Danish on the counter instead of putting it behind the counter where it normally is.
So you can just kind of reach
out
and
touch it.
It's going
to be right there.
Yes. Very good.
In
clever.
A shiny case.
Clever.
Saying, buy me, buy me.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
That's what I hear anyway.
Like it. Thank you, Gina. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Thanks for being with us. Time now for a small business update, and it's brought to you by AutoTrader.com. With AutoTrader alerts, they'll let you know when the price drops on a car you've been searching for. They'll even send you cars that match what you're looking for. Sign up for text alerts at AutoTrader.com. All the prep work you've done to, say, discuss salary and benefits at a new job, yeah, maybe for naught. What makes a difference when it comes to negotiations? New research says having a wide face gives you an advantage. Researchers conducted a series of simulated male-male negotiations in real estate transactions and salaries and found that men with wider faces entered these negotiations with a competitive mindset rather than a cooperative one. Oh, and one other point here for the ladies. These guys are also seen as ideal partners for romantic flings, not so much for long-term relationships. There you go, ladies. Watch out for the wide-faced guys. For Gina Cervetti, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to the Wall Street Journal this morning.
Wix.com lets you easily create a beautiful professional website for free. With hundreds of stunning templates, cool features, and popular apps, you can get your business online today. Start now at Wix.com. That's W-I-X.com. Thanks for listening to The Wall Street Journal This Morning. For more, follow The Wall Street Journal This Morning on Facebook and Twitter, and now on TuneIn.